2025, this is going to be a year of innovation, regeneration, and cultivation. Now, when you say the word innovation, what do you mean? The word innovate means to actually to change or to alter or to introduce something that is new. For this year, for a lot of people, it's going to be a year in which God is going to introduce something new. Now, when you're talking about innovation, what does that mean? You're talking about changing by introducing of something new, change that is established, you know, through laws, our customs, our rights, change. In fact, when you talk about when Jesus came, it says that Jesus came, when he came to do what? He came that we might have life. You know, what kind of life? The God kind of life. In fact, it says in John chapter 10, verse number 10, it says this, and I'm reading from the Amplified. It says that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus says that I came that you might have life. And not only that you might have life, that you might have life and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full and to the overflow. He also goes on to say in verse 11 that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. So when Jesus came on the scene, he didn't just come on the scene just to take away your sins. He didn't come on the scene just to heal your body. He came on the scene that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows, that you might have the God kind of life, the kind of life that Adam and Eve had in the garden, even Eve and Eden before they bowed their knee to the adversary. In fact, Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he says, then he who sat on the throne said, I make all things new. Jesus didn't come for you to have the same old life where it's busted and disgusted, where you feel like you can't be trusted. But he says that I came to make all things new. He says that in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 5. So in this new year, every time the new year comes along, everyone has this great expectation of something new, something fresh, something that's never existed before. They're expecting they have new ambitions, they have new hopes, they have new dreams. But ladies and gentlemen, in order for you to lay a hold on the new, you have got to let go of the old. We find this in the book of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 9. It says it this way. It says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forward, I'm going to tell you of it. And God is saying this from the very outset of 2025. Before it even springs forth, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. He says it's going to be a year of innovation. There's going to be a year of regeneration. And he says it's going to be a year of cultivation. No matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, or if you just began to walk with him as a result of this broadcast, this is going to be a year that God is going to take you from one level to the next level. But one of the first things you have to do is be willing to let go of the old to lay hold on the new. He's already said, behold, I declare that the former things have passed away and new things I declare. He says, before they spring forth, I'm going to tell you of them. Another thing he says this in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18, he says it this way. He says, do not remember the former things. Don't lay a hold on what you've been talking about. Don't worry about what so-and-so said. Don't worry about what so-and-so did. He says, behold, I'm making all things new. He says, remember not the former things. He says, don't even consider the things of old. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. He says, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? He says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What is he talking about? He says, no matter how impossible it may seem to you, does not mean it's impossible with God. That's the great thing about God. He says, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible for who? Those who will believe, those who will trust, those who will lay hold on the fact that God cannot and will not lie. Now, I'll give you a great example of this. Now, we're going to go all the way to the book of John chapter 3. And we're going to talk about, in order to lay hold on this new, he says, I'm going to do a new thing. He says, I'm going to innovate. He says, there's going to be innovation. There's going to be regeneration. And then he says, then there's going to be cultivation. And that is the life that Jesus came to give you and I. He didn't come for us to just get, enough Jesus to get to heaven and go through hell on earth until we get there. No, he came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. We find in the book of John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, we find a man. His name, we find this in John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man named a Pharisee, who means he was a Jewish ruler. He was a ruler of the Jews. It even says that about him. In John chapter 3, verse 1, it says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Now, this man, Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. And this is what he said. He says, "Rabbi, our good teacher, we know that you are a teacher of God, come from God. How did he know? Because no one can do these things, these signs, these indicators, except or unless the Father's with them." So what Nicodemus is saying to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, no man can do all the things that you're doing except God be with them." And that's a word for you this year. No, they will know that you cannot do the things that you're able to do. You cannot walk in the newness of life that he's talking about. You cannot walk in the regeneration that he's talking about. You will not have the cultivation he's talking about unless God is with you. But what did Jesus say in response to what Nicodemus had to say about him? Jesus answered him, and this is what he said to Nicodemus. He says, "Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again." And that word "born again" means to be born again from above, which means you are going to be regenerated from above. Now, in order to be born again, you have to be regenerated. What it really means is you're being regenerated from above. And the only way, he's telling Nicodemus, the only way you're going to be able to see, understand, and comprehend the thing, the signs, the indicators, or the wonders that you're seeing, is you must be born again, or you must be regenerated from above. He said, because in other words, until you see that, you cannot see, understand, comprehend the kingdom of God, or God's ways of doing things. Now, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus on a spiritual level. Nicodemus is responding on a natural level. This is what he says. He says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit," Holy Spirit, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You cannot enter into God's ways of doing things unless you are born again or regenerated from above through the person of the Holy Spirit. See, the thing about it is when you get born again, God takes that old sin nature out, and he makes, we call the great exchange. He takes that old sin nature out and he replaces it with his Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And what comes as a result of you having the Holy Spirit? You are born again, or you are, another way of saying that is you are generated, or it produces something that is new. So when you're born again, you're not that same busted old person that you used to be. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. What happens is your spirit, the real you, is generated or produces something that is new. We find this in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says that if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. Things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So in order for you to experience this innovation, regeneration, and cultivation, you must be born again. Well, said, "Well, I think I gave my life to the Lord before, or I got baptized." Man, it doesn't matter where you are in your journey today. You can start anew. Jesus says, "Don't be marveled that I said you must be born again." Why? Because in order for you to enter to God's way of doing things, in order for you to see, comprehend, and understand God's ways of doing things, you must be regenerated or born again from above through the person of the Holy Spirit, who then comes on the inside of your spirit and replaces that old sin nature and replaces it with the nature of God. Now, because you're born again, guess what happens? You are now dead to sin, which means you no longer have to live under the dictates or the dominion of sin. In fact, death itself doesn't even have dominion over you anymore. We find this in the book of Romans chapter 6. And it talks about how, in verse 8 to 11, it talks about how we are to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse number 11, it says that. In Romans 6, 11, it says, we are to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that sin died? No, not at all. But what it does mean is you do not no longer have to live under its dictates and its demand. Just because you get a feeling that you want to do something does not mean that you have to yield to that. You can take authority over it. In fact, the word of God says you're dead to sin. In fact, it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, that we are to set our minds on things above, set our things on minds that concern the kingdom of God, set our things on those things which are about the kingdom and about God's ways of doing things, and that we are not to focus on the things on the earth, not to be so consumed with the things on the earth that we miss out on the things of God. Now, he's doing a new thing in you. He's regenerated you because you're born again. And he says, now you are dead to sin. So because you are in Christ, it says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So we are no longer, we are dead to sin, but we're alive unto righteousness. We're dead to the old ways. We're alive unto the new. Why? Because he came to make all things new. Now, one thing you have to realize is because you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I believe it's in verse number 19. It talks about it this way. It says, do you not know that your body, talking about you as a regenerated, born again believer, do you not know that the Holy Spirit, that you are, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and body, which are his, which means that the Holy Spirit himself resides on the inside of you. So wherever you go, remember, when you're regenerated from above, born again from above, the Holy Spirit comes and he lives on the inside of you. So now you have the Holy Spirit who dwells and lives on the inside of you. He's with you forever. And he says in Galatians chapter 5, not to be led by your flesh, your fleshly desires, but to be led by the Spirit. And it goes on and talks about how, you know, all the things that your flesh would desire to do. But remember, you're dead to sin. So just because your flesh desires to do it does not mean that you have to do it, because now you have authority over all the dictates of the flesh. And you are no longer alive to sin, but you're dead to sin, but you're alive unto righteousness. Now, so what do you do now? You have to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate on the inside of you. What is he cultivating? He's cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is this. Is the Holy Spirit that works within us. His presence within us accomplishes this: love and joy and gladness and peace and patience and even temper and forbearance and kindness and goodness and benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, self-restraint, and continence. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus, those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those who have been regenerated, those who have been born from above, have received the Spirit of God on the inside of them. And now you crucify the deeds of the flesh, the passion and appetites and desires of the flesh, and you walk your life by the Holy Spirit. You're being led by the Holy Spirit. So what's going to happen in 2025? You're going to have innovation. God is doing a new thing. You're going to have regeneration. Things that were once dead, he's going to make alive again. And he's going to cultivate you. And how's he going to cultivate? By you being led by the Holy Spirit. And he's going to cultivate or nurture and help you to grow. because you're not servants of God, but you're children of God. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they have become the sons of God. And that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Because the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Glory to God. If we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together in him. So I wanted to share this word of the Lord. He says innovation, regeneration, and cultivation will take place in the year 2025. And on behalf of Pastor Juan and the entire Faith Life Nation, I want to thank you and I want to welcome you into 2025. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.